Hello, this is Andrew Middleton from Sheffield Hallam University in the UK, and welcome to the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast. What follows is the presentation that I gave at the recent Barcamp Scotland event that took place in Edinburgh on the 3rd of March 2007. I was unsure about actually publishing this, because the title of the session that I gave was Educational Podcasting Models Don't Record Your Lectures. And of course there's an irony there, because what I'm about to do is offer you a recording of what some people might call a lecture. So don't laugh, but I'm going to share it anyway. The intention of that session was not to deliver a lecture or a presentation with a single voice. The intention was to engage the audience with a discussion, and to a certain extent that is what happened. So this is a contentious issue for me, and one of the reasons why I am doing this podcast series. I'm exploring the use of podcasting in higher education. So in this session I am suggesting that recording lectures is not really the best thing that we can be doing in higher education. Anyway, I'd be interested on your thoughts on this topic, and I hope you will listen to this and feel motivated towards leaving some comments in the podcast blog, which I'll give you the address at the end of this podcast. Basically, I'm looking for some help, and I'll possibly plug this in, but I'll make a start without it. I've already said that, you know, my domain is education, higher education. I'm at a point where I've been running a podcast for about 18 months, and the reason I'm doing it is because, well, loads of reasons, but the thing I told my boss was, well, you know, here's a technology, it's looking interesting. And, but what's it going to mean to our academics? Are they going to be able to manage it? How's it going to impact on their practice? And, you know, one of the simplest things that you could do with a podcast or audio is to record a lecture. And in fact, I hate to say it, but most of our academics love lecturing. They love standing in this position. And, you know, sharing their wisdom. Now, for me, it's totally missing the point, because it's a new technology. It's a new opportunity. And so I actually have a question about whether we can do a lot more with it. First of all, a brief introduction to who I am. I'm Andrew Middleton. I work in the Learning Teaching Institute at Sheffield Hallam University. I look at all sorts of academic innovation opportunities. Spend a lot of time horizon scanning, reading great blogs from people like yourselves, probably, looking for new ideas, looking at what's happening technology-wise in the world out there, and seeing if there's a fit at all with education. So that's me. I'm not going to introduce podcasting. I'm going to assume that everyone here is familiar with what that's all about. So this is, what I want to ask you about. It's, you know, should we be using in education, whether you're talking about universities or schools, I suppose, should we be using it to capture presentations given in rooms like this and reproducing them? You know, it's obviously very simple. And in response to that first point I was making, it's probably the approach that has the least impact on our current practice in terms of the academic can basically take a device like this or a device like that and just say record, and some technician hopefully is going to support them, or if they have to do it themselves, it's not going to be too difficult for them to distribute that recording. So my question is, actually, should we be recording lectures and reusing them as podcasts? I actually believe there are one or two little ideas that where that's useful, but mostly, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't believe that podcasting is an ideal medium for the distribution of lectures for several reasons. And lectures typically are of an hour or so in duration. Obviously, there are many exceptions to that. There are also many definitions or interpretations of what a lecture can be. A lecture can be highly interactive or it can be highly didactic. You know, shoving the information at the massive 300-strong audience as we have at Hallam. I believe one of the great things about podcasting is that you've got an audience of one every time it's used. But if I'm standing here, I'm trying to address you over here and you over here and at the back and trying to engage you, probably using some visuals, with what's going on. And if I'm a good lecturer, I hopefully will engage you by asking some questions. So I think I'll just check to find out who we've got here. How many people here don't listen to podcasts? Do not subscribe? Well, that's great. I can assume that everyone is familiar with a podcast. Now, can anyone tell me whether you subscribe to a podcast or you listen regularly to a particular podcast that lasts more than 20 minutes? Can you describe, tell me what that podcast is and describe, why you stay subscribed and tuned into it?
We are Mel's podcast in order to feel part of the community and not necessarily to pick myself from that, but to give me inspiration to, motivation when I read this.
Okay, so it's sort of a sense of community, being tuned in, being aware with that sort of niche thing that Ewan was talking about. You're part of a community and being subscribed to that podcast helps you to fit in with that, and possibly, I don't know, you interact in other ways with the people presenting or involved in the podcast, do you?
Not so much.
No. But you feel up to speed with what's going on, and you tune in and out of the podcast as you listen, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a tendency with the longer podcasts. That, I mean, I listen to my podcast walking the dog, because my dog walk in the morning or the evening tends to last about 40 minutes, 60 minutes or whatever, and it fits. But I don't think many people, there are too many podcast listeners who do dog walking. So I'm trying to conjure up other places where people listen to podcasts of that sort of duration. Now, there was one other person at least that said they, yeah, what's
it? One of the longer ones would be This Week in Tech, Twits.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's tech news, it's entertaining analysis, and it's really an entertaining factor that keeps me listening beyond 20 minutes. But
now that
minority of long, I mean, that's the sort of the spike. The rest of the podcasts I listen to are quite short.
Right.
I wouldn't hold my attention span, just the effort involved.
Twit is a really interesting example. It is very engaging. It is very well produced. It involves a lot of different voices. I've only heard it myself a few times, so I may be missing some of its greatest points. But it's what I would call a magazine model. It keeps you engaged. There's a lot of people contributing to it, expert voices. They know what they're talking about, and they're fairly contentious and a bit raucous with it. Yeah, that's good, entertaining stuff. Now, we've all got pictures of academics in our heads, memories of people who taught us, and perhaps some of us do some of this for ourselves anyway. I don't know too many who can sustain my attention using the audio medium alone for longer than 20 minutes without me drifting. And I might even argue that the excellent academics, the excellent lecturers, are excellent because they make me drift. And when I use that expression, what I mean is that experience is I'm walking the dog and someone said something and I'm off. I'm thinking, I'm engaged. I'm off on my course of cognition. You know, they've got me going. It doesn't need to be longer than 20 minutes. And so I'm drifting in and out and tuning in and out as well. And I do listen to some podcasts that last more than 20 minutes. I listen to something called EdTech Talk, which is a live multi-voice webcast from the States, and I've been in touch with the people that produce that, and I know them. So the longer ones are exceptional. Okay, let's move on. The other point that I'd like to suggest is that, given the new technologies that we have access to, given the new theories in pedagogy, perhaps lectures themselves are out of date. they are a format that were designed to suit an earlier technology, the lecture theatre. And now, in education, we do have access to technologies that allow us to break away from that particular framework. So I think it's time to look at what is good about podcasting. And, you know, here are a few things that I noted down earlier when I decided to scribble my name up on the wall. And I probably thought of these things so many times before, but it's the ease of access to production. You know, it's really not very difficult to switch on a device like this or even plug in a mic into a device like that and set it to record. And there are various applications around that allow us to output those simply if we don't know the XML as podcasts. Also, I find in academic circles that a lot of the access to podcasts is direct access. In other words, not by subscription. That people go into the virtual learning environment or into the intranet and will actually click on the audio file and play it directly sitting at a PC. So, you know, referring back to you and what he was just saying there, I think in education we might be expecting most of our people, certainly in the early days of educational podcasting, to access the audio directly. And that is a model that both students and academics can understand because they're used to publishing on the web.
It's not really podcasting.
No, it's not, but that doesn't matter, because if what we're really interested in is the quality of what you can do with audio, for me, I would say I'd be pragmatic about being a purist in terms of defining it as podcasting. Now, from my point of view, because I'm an educational developer, I feel as though I have a responsibility to look at the subscription model, or the syndication model, and promote more ideas around that too. But no, strictly speaking, it's not podcasting. It's web-based audio, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't it up to the listener as to which one they find helpful? If it's like a course, which in education links to be the RSS feed, means they don't have to go and get the download of the next lecture or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It'll
so
come to them
so there are definitely opportunities with the podcast RSS
background.
But this isn't splitting hairs. This is essentially the thing. I mean, all the stuff about audio, and even in Ewan's talk as well, I feel completely misses the point. The whole point of this is that you've got a delivery mechanism, and the fact that it's audio or video or whatever else doesn't matter. The whole point of podcasting, and it referenced the educational thing, is that you're finding a way to keep pushing this stuff at your students.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely agree with you, but if a lecturer comes to me with a great idea for a piece of audio, I'm not going to say, oh, you can't do that, that's not a podcast. So, yes, I want people to look at the full advantage and not to miss the point of podcasting and some of the opportunities. And I think there are, and I would really like to move on very quickly for the last couple of minutes and say, what can we do then if we dismiss or put the idea of podcast lectures to one side? What sort of opportunity, quickly, a quick round of the room perhaps, what ideas might we have for using audio delivered strictly as a podcast to enhance the learning experience? Yeah, an idea.
I don't know if you caught the spoken word presentation upstairs
yeah.
at Caledonian University. That's a great model where they've used BBC archives of audio and video. Just ask the lecturer what they want to put over, and they'll get the content from the BBC. They make it into a video podcast and make it available on their intranet for students to go and watch video clips, listen to the audio clips from the BBC, spliced with the lecturer filling in the gaps. And it's much more involved for the student rather than just listening to that lecture.
I worried a wee bit about that in terms of it turned into a bit of a big production and they did seem to need some development support. But the idea there, I think, the essential idea is using podcasts to illustrate by bringing in archive sources. I thought that was an excellent idea because that can then generate other learning activity. Yeah.
I mean, one idea I would throw out is to use this kind of thing in terms of small podcasts, in terms of a particular topic or concept that's particularly tough, and having a human speak over it again after the lecture, so maybe not even extracting it from the lecture, it's covered in the lecture. These concepts were part of this lecture, but these are independent discussions on that concept that I could just subscribe to as the course goes along. So a particular tough topic, explained again with the lecturer's own metaphors would be a nice sort of backup for the student to go back when they're actually in the lab or whatever, applying whatever concepts have been taught. They can get that sort of stuff again. But
I was involved in a project at Hallam last year which we called Audio Notes, which was precisely about capturing the small nuggets, the difficult bits. And as with the spoken word project, using them, we called it pre-vision, so that in subsequent years or with other cohorts, we could actually use the same clips to inform the coming lecture. And then you could actually work more widely with the lecturer in terms of a bit more interaction. So who did understand the concept, who had problems with it, who disagreed with it. In other words, use the podcast audio to begin a conversation beyond the technology. The other thing, perhaps where ideas from other educational models can come from, is if you start to think that, you know, we're not listening to the academic voice, we're listening to the student voice. It's easy, easy production stuff. And we could be asking students to discuss their understanding of some of the difficult concepts. We could be listening to the expert's voice. That is the person who isn't in the university environment, but is maybe a professional in working in practice out in the real world. We could be capturing their experience. We could be capturing the processes out in the real world and bringing those in and using audio to engage our students in that way. Are there any other ideas here? Yeah.
Can I ask your opinion on the MIT's thing, which was, I mean, a couple of years ago they made all of their coursework available online. And I believe now, I may have this wrong, it may not even be in MIT, but some university made a standard practice to film all lectures and at least audio record them and make them available as podcasts. Or
I think it's UCAL.
Stanford does that. I think it's UCAL Berkeley.
Really, yeah. Okay.
There are quite a few universities doing that, and one of the things that I find in my job as an educational developer is I get a lot of salespeople coming up to me trying to flog me systems to do exactly that, you know, record exactly everything that's going on here and pump it straight out. Oppresso, if you want to do this, Oppresso was one of the salespeople that contacted me fairly recently. They seem to be doing a fairly good job of capturing everything that's going on here and then offering it immediately on a server out to the students. Now, I just don't want to do that because my job's about academic innovation and that's about replication. And I did say at the beginning that I believe there are some good uses. I think if you've got the time to revisit a lecture, great. That's wonderful if you want to do that. I mean, we may be talking about a student finding not just an hour to turn up, but an hour to turn up again. And maybe pre-exam, another hour to turn up again. So I don't think that happens in all honesty. I've been speaking to students about their use of podcasting, and no student is telling me that they're prepared to regularly revisit a lecture that they attended.
Do you not think it's pretty explosive? There's explosive potential in the fact that some kid in India can have access, if he develops a huge interest in Georgian architecture or whatever the hell, that he can find lectures on it. And it may not be like professional media edited quality, but for that kid who's desperate for the
Totally. There are really good reasons for doing it too. Another good reason is that I could have a much more interactive event here. You could all be doing things, you could be working together as groups, and that basically is free. That time is freed up because we've recorded it. You're not having to note take because you know you can listen back to everything that went on. So there are reasons for putting lectures up there. What I wouldn't want to do is to suggest that that's the only thing we can do in education. And I think my time is probably up. But if anyone wants to continue a similar discussion with me elsewhere today, I'd be delighted to hear. Well, I hope that has made you think. Hopefully you will want to respond to the ideas I'm suggesting there with regard to recording lectures. If you have any thoughts on that, then please do leave a comment on the blog for this podcast, which you can find at http://ltapodcast.blogspot.com, or you can email me at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk. Thank you very much for listening.